Of all the gifts that we've looked at, the gift we're covering today has been the most difficult for me. We're going to be talking about healings, or the gifts of healings. And for one thing, the Bible gives many examples of healings, but it isn't real clear on the gifts of healings that Paul writes about in 1 Corinthians 12:9. So let's look at the text where Paul lists the gifts from the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12:7 through 11. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that same Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to another, still another, the interpretation of tongues. All of these things work, are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He distributes them to each one just as He determines. So what are the gifts of healings? Now notice this gift in the text is plural. It's the only gift that's plural. The word healing is plural, and so is the word gifts. Now there are several thoughts about this. For one thing, there are different kinds of healings. There are physical, mental, spiritual, and emotional healings. There are also many ways that healings happen. There's the laying on of the hands. In Acts 5, Peter's shadow healed people. In John 5, an angel stirred the water and brought healing. Some healings were immediate, and some happened gradually. The gifts of healings serve the same purpose as any other gift from the Holy Spirit. All of the gifts of the Holy Spirit are for the common good, the edification of the church, and reach others for Christ. Also, like the other gifts, the gifts of healings are supernatural works of the Holy Spirit. Now, I have no doubt that there are medical personnel who have been given the gifts of healings. But this gift from the Holy Spirit isn't about medicine. It's not about surgery. It's not about treatments. Those are man-made. Gifts from the Spirit are entirely and only of God. The gift of healing is one of the ways that God is one of the ways that God heals people. But there are others. There's the prayer of faith. James tells us in chapter 5 that if anyone is sick, the first thing they are to do is to pray for healing. Let me say that again. The first thing that they are to do is to pray for healing. I've found many people that won't pray for themselves. And they won't pray specifically for their own healing. And y'all, this is wrong. It's not biblical. James tells us, pray for healing for ourselves. First thing to do. I've had people tell me that they don't pray for healing. Instead, they pray for God's will to be done. Y'all, God's will is going to be done. Always. It is not selfish to stand flat-footed and tell God what you want. Do you know the story of Hezekiah? Hezekiah's father was one of the most wicked kings Judah ever saw. When Hezekiah ascended the throne, he went to work cleaning house. He had temples, altars, and idols destroyed. 2 Kings 18:4 tells us that he is the one that broke the bronze serpent that Moses made in the desert because the Israelites had made an idol out of it. They prayed to the bronze serpent. They didn't pray to God. So Hezekiah had it destroyed. Hezekiah reopened the temple and reinstated the priesthood. He was faithful to God, and God prospered him. Hezekiah welcomed God's prophets, Isaiah and Micah, and he followed what God told him to do through the prophets. But in 2 Corinthians 20, verse 1, Isaiah brought word to Hezekiah that he should prepare to die. Isaiah told him, "Thus says the Lord." If you'll remember when I was talking about the gift of prophecy, the prophets would say, "Thus saith the Lord." That's what Isaiah does here. "Thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die. You will not recover." Hezekiah prayed to God. He didn't pray that God's will would be done. He prayed for his own healing. 2 Kings 20, verse 2. Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord, "Remember, Lord, how I have walked before you faithfully and with wholehearted devotion, and have done what is good in your eyes." And Hezekiah wept bitterly. And because of his prayer, Hezekiah's prayer, God changed his mind. 2 Kings 20, 4 through 6. Before Isaiah had left the middle court, the word of the Lord came to him, "Go back and tell Hezekiah, the ruler of my people, this is what the Lord, the God of your father David, says. I have heard your prayer and have seen your tears. I will heal you. On the third day from now, you will go up to the temple of the Lord. I will add 15 years to your life, and I will deliver you and this city from the hand of the king of Assyria. I will defend this city for my sake and for the sake of my servant David." Hezekiah was specific in his prayer request. The story of blind Bartimaeus also shows specificity, and it shows persistence. Mark 10, 46 through 52 says they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called to the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you." Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. And the blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," said Jesus, "your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. Bartimaeus knew that Jesus was Lord. According to Matthew's account of this story, there was another blind man with Bartimaeus, and they called out, "Lord, son of David, have mercy on us." The blind men had faith. They knew Jesus could give them the ability to see. Now, the first time they called out, the crowd hushed them, but they continued to cry out to Jesus, which shows their persistence. So they had faith. They had persistence. But Jesus wanted something else. Jesus asked Bartimaeus, "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus knew what Bartimaeus wanted, but he asked Bartimaeus to tell him precisely what he wanted. And only after Bartimaeus did that, did Jesus restore his sight. So after we ask God for healing for ourselves, as we've been shown in the scripture that we are to do, then we ask others to pray. And that's when our prayers as a church come in, and we as a body pray for others. If healing is still needed, James tells us in chapter 5 to call for the elders of the church for anointing and prayer. Healing by prayers of faith is possible for believers who have repented of their sins. But gifts of healings are different. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 12:11, all these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He distributes them to each one just as He determines. Just as He determines means the Holy Spirit is in control. The Spirit determines who will receive the gift of healings. The receiver of the healing doesn't have to be a believer. They don't have to repent, and honestly, they don't have to do anything. Healing through a believer with the gifts of healings is more about the relationship between the healer and God than it is about God's relationship with the one being healed. Now, y'all, this was the aha moment in this sermon for me. And I think it's why I had such a hard time writing the sermon, because until this point in it, I didn't understand. As I said, the gift of gifts of healings, just like any other gifts from the Spirit, is for the common good, the church's edification, and to reach others for Christ. They are all about the person receiving the gifts relationship with God and the benefit to them, the church, and the kingdom, more than they are about a benefit to the receiver of the actions. Any gift that God, through the Spirit, gives us is about us and God. It's not about the person that benefits from the gift and God. Just as the gift of gifts of healings was needed in the early church, y'all, it is needed today. Gifts of healings are given as a confirmation of God's power. Sickness, just like sin, comes from man's fallen state. The same power that can forgive sins is able to heal. Through gifts of healings, God reveals His character. When people are healed, not only does God show His power, He shows His love and His grace. Okay, if God shows His love and His grace through healings, why doesn't God heal everyone? Whether or not God grants healing, either through prayer or through someone with the gifts of healings, depends on what is better for the common good, or what is better for the church, or what is better for reaching others for Christ. God is sovereign and all-knowing. Jesus conquered death on the cross, but sickness and death will remain on this earth until Jesus returns. And when that happens, we'll be changed into Jesus' likeness. But until then, we are susceptible to the consequences of Adam's sin. Our bodies are mortal, and they are corruptible. In the third letter of John, John writes, "I pray that you may enjoy good health." When we don't receive healing, or our prayers for another don't bring healing, God has a more significant reason to not heal that person or not heal us. It's more than just the fact He didn't want to heal them. God doesn't want us to be sick. God doesn't want us to die. If He did, He wouldn't have sent Jesus to redeem us. No, sickness, pain, and death are not what God wanted for His creation. But He will use sickness, pain, and death in the same way He will use anything in our lives. And that is as a means of growing His kingdom. I've told y'all before that being a Christian doesn't make us immune to anything life throws at people. Until Jesus returns, we are susceptible to anything and everything that Satan can throw at us. And God is glorified in how we react to what life throws at us. By all means, God is glorified when we tell people of healing. God is glorified when we worship Him with everything that we are. God is glorified when we share the gospel of Jesus Christ. But God is also glorified when we continue to believe that God heals, even when we don't see it happen. God is glorified when we continue to worship Him, even when we lose people and things that matter to us. God is glorified when we say we have everything we need, even when we've lost everything we had. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10:31 that whatever we do, we should do to the glory of God. And that means that when we're healthy, prosperous, and on top of the world, we should be glorifying God. It also means that when we are sick, dying, broken, and mourning, we should be glorifying God. Do you want the Holy Spirit to gift you with the gifts of healings? Or, for that matter, any of the gifts of the Holy Spirit? Then it starts with you. No one is promised all the gifts, but if you are a believer, the Holy Spirit has a gift or more than one gift with your name on it. But you have to let the Holy Spirit out of that box and let Him lead you in everything. Ephesians 3:20 says, "Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us." The power that works in us, y'all. But we have to access this power. And accessing this power requires that we grow in our knowledge of God. It requires that we come to know God, not just in a Sunday morning type of knowledge, but in a 24/7 type of knowledge. Remember, I said that receiving the gifts of healings is about the receiver of the gift. It's about the person receiving the gift from the Holy Spirit and their relationship with God. The more we get to know God, the more His power will manifest through our lives, in our lives. But we have to take the steps to make that happen, if that's what we truly want. Bow your heads with me, please. Heavenly Father, I pray that You will give us all a hunger to know You. Father God, take us, teach us, free us, and turn us into the person You designed us to be. Lord, give us an insatiable desire to do the things in the world that bring blessings to others. Not for glory for ourselves, Lord, but to glorify You. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.